Bhagavad Gita as it is, 8th chapter, Attaining the Supreme, text number 7. Tasmat sarve sukhalesu mam anusmarayujacha mayarpito mana buddhir mame vasyasya samsaya. Translation. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important. For all men engaged in material activities, the Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. Pradyumna, you don't have a chadar either, because in your bag. You have? I want to borrow it, because there's a draft on my neck, and he gives me his. Also good. I don't know. But this draft is going to make me sick like anything. So, this instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagement. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. In many ways, the material world has similarities with the spiritual world, because it is described that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual sky. And therefore, we also, in the spiritual world, see that there is beautiful landscape with beautiful trees. We see that there are rivers, lakes, ponds. We see that there are many wonderful flowers and colors and varieties of precious stones that all add to the brilliance of the landscape. Just like here in this world, the sun can play on the water and create beautiful effects. So the spiritual world is unlimitedly greater. But the point that I'm trying to make is there is a relationship between the spiritual and the material world. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we do not just have to give up the material world. Rather, we can remain active in the world and we can use the world. But nirbandha Krishna sambandha yukta vairagya uchate. We must make the sambandha with Krishna. Somehow or other, we must connect everything with Krishna. So whatever activities we do, we must do them for the pleasure of Krishna. Because when we connect with Krishna, then we should first of all understand our position, which is Krishnera Nitya Das, to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So when we understand that eternal servant of Krishna, that means always, every moment, every situation, we are to engage in the service of Krishna and nothing else. In the beginning, it is not so easy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Savai pumso paru dharmo yato bhaktira doksha je ahaitikya patiyata yayatma supersedati, that pure devotional service means to always engage in the service of Krishna without interruption and without motivation. And this is difficult. Because exactly these two are the obstacles in our devotional service. We have also some motivation. We are not only purely interested in Krishna's happiness, but we are also interested in our own. And because we are interested in our own satisfaction, we're also calculating, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of this? And so it is difficult. We are always, even while doing something for Krishna, still we are thinking, but what am I getting? And then there is also the tendency to interrupt devotional service. We do some service and then we take a break, and we do some service and we take a break. But always, tasmat sarve sukalesu, that means at all times, sarvesu, at all, kalesu, times. So, tasmat sarvesu, therefore, at all times, mam anusmara, you should remember me. Then, yujacha, then fight. So, Arjuna had to fight, and basically, the nature of material existence is to fight. Whether Arjuna was fighting on a battlefield of Kurukshetra, or whether we are fighting with Krishna, with Krishna's material energy, we are fighting. It's not so easy. Prakriti stani karsati. There is always the struggle with the prakriti, with the material energy, and that continues, just like struggle with a window, or struggle with a door, or struggle with the car, whatnot. Anything can happen in the material world. Like talking about doors and struggle with the doors. I remember that one time someone closed the door of the car on my fingers, four fingers in between the door. And I don't know what was worse, the physical pain or the mental shock. Because I was definitely thinking, this is the end of my fingers. Right? I was just sort of getting a mental picture that when my hand comes out of this door, there will be four fingers less. Right? That was really on my mind. But the pain was also there, so I immediately called out, open, 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 open the door! Right? Very loud. And they did open the door, and to my amazement, the fingers were still there. These are not false fingers. They are real. And I suddenly realized they designed the doors for that. Yeah. I just realized the guys actually thought about it. All glories to the designers. They thought about it. They thought about it. So anyway, I survived it and even played harmonium that night, although a little stiff in the fingers. What can we say? You just never know. We don't know what can happen in the material world, but there is a struggle. There is a struggle. Yeah. Sometimes there is success, very easy, and sometimes it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. I met one salesman in the Kalverstraat who tried to sell me an eye operation, but I didn't buy it yet. But I told him I was very interested and I would think about it. And then I walked away, determined in my mind that I would never do this. Just like, same like our book distributors experiencing. So what can I say? The material world is like that, you know. Here we are in material bodies. And these material bodies, they go through pleasures and pains. But in the spiritual world, there's nothing like that. Right? Nothing like that. The body is just absolutely perfect. There's absolutely nothing. There's nobody who has the wrong body in the material world, the legs too short, the nose too long, or anything, you know, the spine not completely in shape, or anything, right? No, everything is perfect, and everything is nice. On the plane, we were talking about the body for a moment. It's like you can't talk about Krishna all the time, so we were talking about the body. And then we said, it's always like, while one part of the body is enjoying, the other part is suffering. Yeah? It's like that, you know. One part's having fun and the other part is sort of squeezed in an impossible position. This is the nature of the material body. But the spiritual body is completely blissful in every aspect, every little part of the spiritual body is ecstatic. So how can one even imagine such an existence? Every part, like here in Amsterdam, you may think it's a nice city, but still in Amsterdam, everybody knows, one eye straight ahead and one eye to the ground, right? You look at the Amsterdam people, they have like that, because there is dog stool everywhere, right? And you know, like if you don't pay attention, oh no. Right? It happens, right? Sometimes when you step out of the car, right there, right next to the car, you know. Oh no. So this is Amsterdam. So we are aware of that. But in the spiritual world, such things are not going on. It doesn't exist. So there's a little bit of imperfection, I want to say, that always is there in the material world. Which we take for granted. It's normal. That's part of life, you know. And you just have to keep one eye on the ground and one eye to look around and everything is fine. But in the spiritual world, the entire ground is blissful. It is ecstatic. You don't need big leather boots to protect your feet from anything, you know, like that possibly can be there. Rather, the very touch of the ground is ecstatic also. In this way, the entire spiritual world is ecstatic. So therefore, an intelligent person will understand that we should not delay our return to the spiritual sky. There is no point in sort of dragging our feet and saying, yes, but spiritual life is so difficult because there are so many things to enjoy in this world. And then Krishna, always think of Krishna, but there are also so many other things to think of. How can you always think of Krishna? And how can you every moment be Krishna conscious? Can't we just have a little leeway for, you know, just being normal? That tendency may be there, but really it just means that we are in ignorance. It is not normal. We are in ignorance, and therefore we don't know. We are not, we hear about the spiritual world and think, yes, yes, that is wonderful. And then we think again about the material world and how comfortable it is and how we can maybe enjoy a little bit and so on and so on. It's quite amazing how the psychology works, because we can on the one hand hear a lecture about the spiritual world and say, yes, yes, sounds perfect, yes, I want to go there, yes. And then the next moment, we are not consistent. We are just again. No, fine. No, very good. Save Krishna's property. Save the Bhaktis. Yeah. It's important. Yes. So somehow or other, now we are in this world, and although we hear about the spiritual world, we cannot really concentrate on it very long, because somehow or other our mind is just too much absorbed in the material things. Then we can take the material things. We can take a buckwheat from Amsterdam and use it in the service of Krishna. If you don't know what a feats is, right? then you're missing something. But I'm sure that you know what a fiets is, because after all you were working in a bicycle shop for some time to repair them, right? So a fiets is a bicycle. Okay, yeah, for those who don't know. He's repairing, he's a fietsenmaker. So, this is Fiets Loka, Amsterdam, right? This is the planet where there are unlimited fietsen. And this is where many fietses go footsie also, right? Or where where the fiets disappears. Right? Yeah. You got that, eh? But we can simply continue. We can continue riding on the fiets, but now for Krishna. That is not a problem at all. We can live the Amsterdam life. We can tomorrow also celebrate the Queen's Day, right? Which is an absolutely insane celebration. Right? If you thought there's anything normal about that, then you should maybe check yourself out, because there might be something that's not totally okay. You know, I mean, it's crazy. People are trying to have a party, right? In a city where parties is anyway the motto, right? Have a party is the motto of Amsterdam. As you come into Amsterdam and you drive under the viaduct, then it says Lustoort, right, on the viaduct, which means, like, you know, the place of lust. Right? That's what it means, and that's what it is. Right? So, but tomorrow it has to go to other proportions. So everyone will try very hard, and they will take many things throughout the day. Whatever. So as the day goes on, people become quite intoxicated. And so do we. Not from all the secondary smoking and so on, but rather we become intoxicated from chanting. Right? To Holy Name. Yes, so every year we experience one thing. We experience that all these people who are becoming like totally hyped up from the combination of alcohol and drugs, and all that energy of the drug and the alcohol is just acting in them and makes them wild and scream and so on and whatnot, right? A lot of energy. But we also see that the energy that we are getting from the Holy Name, from chanting for many hours, is more powerful. And somehow or other, we are more powerful, right? Every year we notice that we are more powerful, and these drunks, they just come up to us, and then we just like sort of like they feel the energy and just get pushed aside, and in this way we plow through the crowd whatever. And it's quite an experience. But very transcendental, very transcendental. So I'm really looking forward to this transcendental activity. And I think that all of us together can try and taste the chanting of the Holy Name. Of course, I must say, the material body doesn't always want to cooperate. It's difficult to chant for so many hours, and even the whole material energy is not so favorable. The clouds don't cooperate. The temperature doesn't cooperate. We were just in the Sringer Xetra in Germany, and it was nice, 20 degrees. We were, at least one afternoon, we were sitting nicely on the grass, and it was Very nice. It was like summer. Huh? Yeah. And here it's again. Misery, but maybe not as much as in Stockholm, where there may be still snow. Okay. Huh? It has just melted. Anyway, it's only it's almost May, and things are moving along. So it's like that, you know. In spite of the material austerity that is involved, there is ecstasy. In the spiritual world, things are all favorable, and everything is supportive, and everything is part of the ecstasy. Everything shares in the ecstasy. Here in Amsterdam, the street tiles are not really ecstatic. But in the spiritual world, the stones on the road are also in ecstasy. The road is ecstatic. Here we don't have that ecstatic road, right? The road is the road. We try to be ecstatic. And when the road gets covered in beer cans and so on, that is not exactly what goes on in the spiritual sky. So really, the chanting itself is great ecstasy, but this material world is not. And therefore, we are interested in going back to Godhead. We are also realizing, though, that even while we are in the material world, we can be perfectly transcendental if we simply focus on Krishna, if we simply remember Krishna. If we focus on Krishna all the time, then we are in the spiritual world. So tomorrow, I think we'll be tested in remembering Krishna. That is actually what we do. But by chanting the whole day, then when you come home after a whole day of chanting and you have no voice left and nothing left, no feet left, no legs left, no back left, no arms left, no hands left, no fingers left, no head left, nothing left, right? Then there's one thing just going on while you're lying in bed, sort of like spinning around. The holy name in our head, it doesn't stop. It goes on the whole night. And even when you wake up in the morning, it's still there. It can go on for days. So this is the platform of auspiciousness, of being absorbed in the holy name. Kirtaniya Sadahari. It should always be like that. So we can get a little taste. Actually, we should always just chant all the time. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy thing. That is the perfection. And it takes a lot of practice. One needs humility and tolerance and give all respects to others. Then one can chant the holy name constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So one can only chant for a long time if we just take shelter of the holy name. Not if we think, I am chanting the holy name, but we just simply turn to the holy name. Please be merciful to me. Then we can chant for a long time. And in the chanting of the holy name, there are many dimensions of experience. In the beginning, we may experience that the chanting is some type of meditation, a mantra by which we are trying to fix the mind. But gradually, we begin to appreciate more and more that the name is Krishna and that we are associating with Krishna. And then, as we are going deeper and deeper, we can perceive Krishna. Until one can chant, and through chanting, one can perceive the spiritual world. That can happen. That is the perfection of chanting. So there's no limit in this chanting. We may sort of, in our mind, we may hold back. We may think, yeah, but can I really chant so much? Can I chant all the time? I don't see that as feasible. But we should know, if we just continue chanting, that somewhere along the line comes a breakthrough where we begin to perceive Krishna. We begin to experience Krishna directly. We begin to perceive the spiritual world. And here in Bhagavad Gita, basically it is said, asanseya, it is beyond a doubt. There is no doubt about it. That success will be there. We will perceive Krishna. So this is very nice, actually. It is very nice. So it's not just the mantra is some technique to control the mind. The mantra is some technique to control the senses, so that we become more balanced people, and that the mantra is a technique by which one can give up alcohol, drugs, or all kinds of things. No, it's not that. The mantra is Krishna, and by chanting it, we will experience Krishna directly. I don't know if we will already achieve that tomorrow. Maybe not. But at least we will experience the purification. There's no doubt about it. For chanting for so many hours, we will experience. I think it's very nice that we are all here and more devotees are coming. So I hope that we will have a very nice, inspiring day. With that in mind, coming from far and having done so many things today, I sort of like think of quitting early and sort of go for the big sleep that I've been thinking about for ages. There's one story in the Krishna book about a king who fought for a long time for the demigods and then was offered a benediction. And he asked for the benediction that he could just sleep and sleep and sleep. And Indra used to always come and whenever he was sleeping and wake him up and ask him to fight again with the demons. So he asked this time the benediction that whoever would wake him up, that he would have the power that as soon as he would open his eyes, that he could burn that person to ashes. So I find this an attractive story. So I'm definitely going to do it, have the big sleep tonight, and therefore I'm not going to give much more of a lecture, but I felt a little guilty about just not doing anything, so I thought, okay, then we'll do one quick and sort of not, at least not too long. And so if you have any questions, then give you lightning flash answer. Yes. Yeah. Gradually, by it is the old example of the glass of water that has ink in it. You know, add water, and then gradually the ink will disappear. One day it will be clear, right? Yes. There's ink in the water, but just keep on adding water and one day it will be crystal clear. So in that's the answer, really. That's how it will go, because if we have to kick out, these material desires and so on, kick them out, they always come back like boomerangs. It's very difficult. So we try to kick them out, that we do. But meanwhile, we add the water. Lots of water, lots of holy name, lots of devotional service. Take shelter of the devotees, take shelter of devotional service. Do all these things. Keep on adding the water and try to kick out all these things. Then one day it will work. It will become clear. The ink will be washed out of that glass of water. Asanseya, without a doubt. Yeah. yeah, oh yeah. These trees in the spiritual world are not ordinary trees. They are desire trees. So they can fulfill any desire that you have. Because trees by nature are very generous. Trees are servants, see? Trees, they give shadow. Trees give fruits. Trees give wood. So trees, they give, even in this world. But the trees in the spiritual world, they can give anything you like. So they are devotees, so they're very conscious. So they are excited to give, they want to give. So if someone comes to a desire tree, that tree wants to serve. Oh yes, please, what you wish, I'll supply anything. Even what you don't ask for, the trees are already supplying, because they already see what your desire is. And the trees in the spiritual world, if they want, they can also move and change location. Not exactly that you suddenly see a tree running by. What was that? But they simply, they are in one place and then they are in another place also. They can do that. Just by will, they can change location. In the spiritual world, things are not as fixed as here. And you can change forms also, if you like, in the spiritual world. You can change. It's like Krishna, he goes every day walking in the forest of Vrindavan, and all the trees are just starting to flourish. And you know, it's not that Krishna has to walk a long way to the forest of Vrindavan with these cows, and then he gets blisters on his feet. My God, what a walk. And he gets to the forest. No, he leaves home, and then he's already sort of in the forest. Then he already arrives after a short while. So distances in the spiritual world mean nothing. Trees are ecstatic devotees. Yes, you could become a tree, and maybe it's nice. You have flowers, honey, or whatever you wish. We can become many things in the spiritual world. But it is all very, very nice. Everyone is satisfied. The trees are completely happy to be trees. It's not like, oh gosh, I'm a tree. Look at me. Yeah, not like that. Shame. I always have bad luck. Yeah. It's not like that. Doesn't exist at all. Here, tell me all about it. Today was our lucky day. We left early in the morning. We came on the airport. Your flight is cancelled. Okay, thank you, Haribo. And what does that mean? You can go later. All right, so, you know, wait. Then we sat in the plane. Okay, and then I wanted to get out in Amsterdam, but actually I came on a return ticket from London via Amsterdam on KLM. And so I thought, I'll get out in Amsterdam. And I told them, said, we'll get out in Amsterdam. I do it so often. And they said, oh, no, no, that's not allowed. No, that's not allowed. And then he said, so the devotees from Germany are also coming here. So I thought, okay, they were still there. So I said, okay, we put the suitcases in the van, you know, then we have no luggage. So then they put a message in the computer that I wasn't even allowed to have hand luggage. Right? They tried to stop me for hand luggage. So I had to fight with them. God, then we were in the plane, and then there were many, many planes taking off and landing, all of the same landing strip, and we're sitting there for 1 hour waiting for the plane to take off. It was really one of those days. And then we arrived, and then we came at gate number one, and someone was on gate number two. So, one of those days. One of those, in the material world, it's like that, you know. Yeah, sometimes it's one of those days, but not in the spiritual world. It's always one of those days, you know, one of those days. So, if you're a tree, and there's a very big banyan tree in the spiritual world, huge. You know banyan trees? These banyan trees, they have roots, they come above the ground. So you see all these roots coming out, and then there's a trunk, and sort of like made of a few of these roots, so it's not one trunk, it's sort of the roots come together into a trunk, then there are branches, and then off the branches grow again other roots, and they go into the ground. And one tree can turn into like a forest, and in the end there's a whole tunnel into the tree. Many hollows and tunnels and this, that, and little rooms. And there is one such tree, and Krishna and the cowherd boys, they play in that tree. And there is a branch which of that tree which is so big that it goes right to the other side of the Yamuna, and the cowherd boys, they go across that branch. It's like their bridge. And they go, a very nice bridge, of course. And they walk across the branch, across the Yamuna. Banyan tree in the spiritual world. That's a tree. In Calcutta, in the zoological, botanical, thank you, botanical garden. In the botanical garden, they have also a huge, huge banyan tree, very famous for getting mugged, for getting robbed. Yeah, but nice tree to see. A little careful. Yes. So like that. But the spiritual world is still greater.
I was just thinking about when the devotees of Spiritual Source and the Kunta planets, they actually they know or they're conscious about that there's actually a Krishna Loka also?
They may know it, but they have absolutely no interest in it. So they're too absorbed, you see. They're not. The thing is this, is that it's not that they're sitting in Vaikuntha and looking up, oh God, and there's Krishna Loka, and there everything is better than here. We're only in Vaikuntha. And, you know, yeah. It just doesn't exist, you know. It's like they are so ecstatic to be in Vaikuntha that even if they look at Krishna Loka, that's also ecstatic, and then they just go on being ecstatic in Vaikuntha. Right? So yes, they know it's there, but it's not like... See, here in this world, there's a lot of time that we are sitting and sort of pondering, you know, sort of like thinking, you know, God, you know, I mean, look at that guy, you know, he has a much better ta-ta-ta-ta than me. And we think about these things, and, you know, why can't I? And now Bill Gates, we read today in the Airlines magazine, is no longer the richest man in the world. The owner of IKEA is now more rich than Bill Gates. How must Bill Gates feel? Yeah, in Sweden, right? It's some Swede, you know. The richest man in the world is from Sweden. Huh? So just being from Sweden makes you feel better, you know, immediately. Yeah, we have two representatives from Sweden. And immediately, you know, yes, the richest man in the world is from Sweden. You know, you can go around now, tell everybody. It feels good, actually, yeah? You know, being from Sweden, suddenly. Yeah? Long live IKEA. Yeah? Just see, you know. So how must Bill Gates feel? Can you imagine that Bill Gates is like, God, devastated? He must be devastated. Must really feel like depressed like anything. Oh my God. You know, I'm no longer the richest man in the world. I was one time sitting in an airplane, and what a surprise, next to someone who was from Nigeria, some African man from Nigeria. And he had two books, you know. One was about a drug lord of Colombia. No wonder, because Nigeria and Colombia are famous for that. And the other thing was he had a magazine. And in this magazine, it showed how many billions of dollars different heads of state had stolen. And Suharto was the biggest, right, according to that magazine. Something like close to $50 billion. And then this man... He said to me, you know, he said, do you realize that it's impossible to spend that money in a lifetime? He said, and the man stole that. And do you realize he can't even spend it? And he just kept on hammering it down, you know, till I finally realized he's right, you know, he's right. there is no way that Suharta could even spend it, right? And he took all that money, right? So it was quite amazing, you know. I mean, what karma, right? Whew. Anyway, you think of that, you know. So here we are in this world. I don't know, what was your question again? Yeah, so here we're always thinking of somebody who's better off than we are. And therefore when we think of Vaikuntha in relation to Krishna Loka, it's very difficult for us to not imagine that, what if I would be on Vaikuntha? Wouldn't I still desire to go to Krishna Loka because it's higher and better? No. In Vaikuntha you can only look with eyes of ecstasy. Only. So everything ecstatic. And there's Krishna Loka. How ecstatic. And then on with the next ecstasy. No time. Not that kind of. Okay, that was a great end. Thank you very much. And lots of... have a good night rest. And sleep well and long. And may you get lots of energy and all that. Because tomorrow we have no mercy for anyone's body, anyone's mind, anyone's feet, anyone's leg, anyone's back, anyone's neck, anyone's head, anyone's arms. When you say, I cannot play kartals anymore, we have band-aids, right? If you say, I cannot walk anymore, we have sit-down bhajans. If you say, I cannot sing anymore, you can play back, right? Or you can at least play the drum. If you say, I cannot drum, that is no excuse, right? Tomorrow is the day of the holy name. Chanting in the rain, you know. It's like, you know, don't worry, right? Just dress up for it. Bring your raincoat, your umbrella, whatever you have to. But it's not going to stop. Okay, thanks very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.